decide that, you know, it's okay. So you're groundbreakers today. You're the ones saying we're going to do it. I do appreciate that the president put out the little notice, whatever you want to call it, that churches are essential. And thank God for that. There's sure a lot of folks who don't think we should be, but he put that out there, and I'm grateful. I really am. And today we're going to look at faith over fact. I believe you'll find this Old Testament passage relevant. And I know you will. And we'll jump into it and go all the way over to the book of Numbers. And we all know this, pretty much acquainted with this story. I'll give you some of this background. But God has led these folks out of Egypt, the Israelites, through Moses. And one man leading, and nobody knows the exact number, but it's estimated between 750,000, 800,000 to 1.2 million. So take it, most time we say a million people. That's a lot of people to lead. And especially when they're a bunch of contrary folks, like these folks were. So they've seen these miracles of God, just the miracles of being delivered from Egypt, the Red Sea parted, and all this stuff. And then God is saying, I want you to go in there and take the land that I promised you, land of milk and honey. And that's where we focus. You say, I know this story. I know what's coming. Well, I'll give you some points because they're so relevant today. It's unbelievable. And we'll look at some of this. And let me read this to you. I read this from the New International Version. It's just, and I titled it, Faith Over Fact, or Faith Versus Fact. And let's just share some of this. And the Lord said to Moses, now catch what's going on here. The Lord said to Moses, this is at Kadesh Barnea, and he said, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites, and from each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Okay? So good. Good so far. So, at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran, and all of them were leaders of the Israelites, and these were their names, and we won't read all that list of names. Only two stand out anyway. The rest don't even deserve to be remembered. But if you remember, two out of the 12 were who? Anybody remember? Joshua and Caleb. All right, well, yeah, he said, okay, I'm going to have to really work on this one because you know this story. But we'll. So Joshua and Caleb, and they go in and they explore the land. And when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up to the Negev and so forth, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many, and what kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Blah, 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 blah. And blah, blah, blah is not in there, but it's in my translation. Okay. So, and so he's, in other words, here's what he said. And this, I've done many of these. And what he was saying was, I want you to take a team and do a military recon. And I want you to find every avenue of approach. I want to know the soil. I want to know what grows there. I want to know if the cities are fortified or not. That's just a military recon. And you come back with that recon report. That's getting on-site intelligence. And you bring that back, and you then have a battle plan that you form around what we used to call eyeballs on. that's eyeballing you. You send a recon team in, and you've done your assessment, and you come back and you bring your report so that you can take the whatever it is, your position. In this case, it was taking a whole bunch of people. And so they go in to do a recon. They even bring back some of the produce. They brought back a cluster of grapes that was so heavy they have to have a pole between two men. I've never seen grapes like that. Anybody? I mean, I never heard of such things up here. But the grapes were so abundant, so beautiful, so wonderful, they had to have two men carrying them on a pole. And so they brought all of this back, and they brought pomegranates, and what could you ask for? So they came back to Moses, verse 26. I'm skipping through. If you haven't read this in a while, read it, because there's some things that you want to catch as this goes on. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, and they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and they showed them the fruit. Look at this, man. This is monster grapes, beautiful pomegranate. They said, the land you sent us to does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But that'll get you every time. It's really great. It's wonderful fruit. But when that's thrown into anything, you know, this is like, you know, when you were, you know, back when you were, most of us were a lot younger and you were dating people, and I know, I think you're really nice and all this, and then there's that, but go ahead and walk off. It's a done deal. You know, everything said before that now is negated, because you might be a nice looking person and you got a good personality and you're so sweet, but you're done. Pack it up, go home, and they throw that in there. But it's everything you said, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Now, this is not part of this message, but there were giants. The Amalekites lived in Negev and so forth. And the descendants of Anak, that goes all the way back into Genesis when it says the sons of God came down and mingled with the daughters of men. And there was a descendant of giants. And these people were saying that these giants were out there. Now, whether they were or not, they just saw some big people and they just assumed that's who they didn't know. Isn't it amazing how when the mind starts going a certain direction, it just imagines all kinds of junk? And it can make you so fearful you can't even breathe, you can't live. And suddenly there's these giants, and we saw the descendants. You know, it doesn't say here, but you know, one of the things, how many? Where were they? Were they everywhere or are they in one place? Because we can get do a battle plan here. We'll go around and defeat everybody else, and then we'll all focus on the big boys if we need to do that. But instead, they made it sound like they're everywhere. And this is a land of milk and honey, but we're not going to be able to go in there. And so that's how this was going. And all of these people, and the people in the Canaanites that lived near the sea, and Caleb silenced them. Caleb said, hey, knock it off. And if that's not in your translation, I'll give you mine. It says it right there. Caleb said, knock it off. And we should go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. But the men that had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And get this. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land we explored, get this. Now, they just went and did a recon. But look at the assumptions. We can't take it. There's all these giants out there. And the land we explored devours those living in it. Have you ever caught this stuff? Isn't that a heck of a thing? Does any of this sound familiar with today's events? I mean, my gosh, you look at this and say, this is as relevant as it can be. Is it any different? How do you know it devours it? You just went and did a little recon. And now you've come back and said, it swallows people whole. This land devours people. How do you know that? What's happened to you people? And so it just goes, and it devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there were great size. We saw the Nephilim, that's the Anak people, the descendants of all the giants and so forth. And all their descendants from Anak, and we seem like, look at this, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. How do you know? Did you go up and ask one of them, how do I look to you? Do you see the ridiculous stuff and all the stuff that was drawn and made into fact here that was nothing but what? Really, truly fantasy. Here's the problem. You know why they assumed that these people saw them as grasshoppers? They said it. Because we saw in our eyes that we looked like grasshoppers. In other words, man, you diminished yourself and exaggerated them. What's wrong with you? What is your problem? You are exaggerating something. You're completely, completely out of where it's supposed to be. You're taking fact. There's some big people there. That's fact. Were there fortified cities? That's fact. Was it a land of milk and honey? That's fact. There was some fact, and then they just took it and exaggerated it. No different than the things we look at today. Happens all the time. It's been happening here for the last few months. I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm simply saying, learn these lessons. And we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And listen to me. One, the first lesson that pops out here, I mean, I've got points and all kinds of things here, but listen to this. People, if you don't see yourself in a positive way, you're going to assume nobody else does. If you don't like you, you'll assume nobody else likes you. If you don't love who you are in Christ, you'll assume nobody else loves you. You with me? If you how you see yourself, you project that. We see ourselves as grasshoppers in our own eyes. We just looked around and said, well, we're just little grasshoppers here. Did you hear something that's not in any of this? Not one time in their report did they say anything about God and His plan. God was totally forgotten. God told them to go take the land, and they came back in this report, and we're grasshoppers, and they've got fortified cities. Nobody said, but God is good at knocking down fortified cities. God is not worried about giants. God's not concerned about this. If God said, and 10 of these people, of the 12 spies, and we call them spies, actually they were recon unit, and some of your translation used the word spy, but actually it said explore. Just go explore, jot down, make notes, come back, and we'll know how to go in there best. This whole thing. And so it was all out of proportion. And then what does it say? I won't give you all this, but it says that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and they wept aloud and they started weeping and carrying on. It got worse. And all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had just died in Egypt or this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land? Only let us fall by the sword. Our wives, our children are going to die here. This is bad, is it not? This is bad. This battle is lost before it ever started. Listen, friends, listen to me. So many battles in their lives are lost before they begin because we don't believe. We have them. Come on up here, you priest, rest of it. You said it. If you didn't hear, she's because the faith. We have to have the faith, and they didn't have any faith, and they were revealing that they had just no faith at all, and no mention of God in it. And so they wept and they cried, and Moses and Aaron fell down in front of the whole assembly. This just gets bad. And if you read verse 10 of chapter 14, it said the whole assembly talked about stoning. They got to the point where they were going to stone Moses and Aaron because of this. You people have been slaves in Egypt for generations now, 400 years plus. And God finally brings you out, and now you freak out because there's some opposition out here. Because you listen to this. 10 people in the media came and convinced a million that this was all true. Does that sound familiar? Same thing. 10 people convinced a million they couldn't do it. And as I read through this, and God was giving this message, working as like, oh my goodness, this is no different than what's happening today. Only a handful of people, it can just run a nation and scare by the, and get us believing stuff and take something that is fact and turn it into total fantasy. And where's the faith? You're showing a tremendous amount of faith being here this day, and I thank you for it. And God will bless you for it. We know, and you've shown it all along. And so I want to read to you this one thing. there's so much here. What can I say? So I want to get into the points, and I'll just paraphrase it. So Caleb speaks up and says, "We can do this. The Lord's told us to do this." Joshua, and they won't listen to them, and they're about to get stoned too. This turns into what we used to call a real fracas. And you know what God finally says to them? The Lord rebukes them, And he wants to kill them all. God says, let me kill every one of them. All these people, all million of them. Except Moses, Aaron, and Joshua and Caleb. He said, I'll just kill them all. We'll start over. And Moses fell down and asked God to forgive these people. Now there's a leader. But there's more than that. There's a man of God. And he wouldn't let God kill those people. But you know what God said? He said, these people that went in and explored this land, they stayed in it 40 days. And he said, because of that, your punishment is going to be, you're going to wander around out here now, what, a year for every day that they were in that land spying it out. Tell all of you people now that are older are going to die off. None of you are going to get to go. Isn't that sad? And God said, I'm going to tell you something. You know, but you don't want to take God off. And keep that in mind. God is slow to anger, but man, you don't want to ever get him to the point where he just finally says, I had it with you. So let's look at some points and just some insights from this. First one is this. When God, I forget, we don't have the points up there, so I'll have to just give them to you. When God, listen to this, when God wants something done, he really wants it done. He's not kidding. When God speaks to your heart, shows you something in the Word, he doesn't want you to play around with it. And he doesn't want us to distort the facts and build a case as to why we can't do something. Friends, we're in the business of doing things, accomplishing. You know, faith and works going together. We're out here to be moving forward. Listen to me. Don't you wish that as many people were putting the energy into moving forward in this nation right now as they are to going backwards? I'm serious. It doesn't take near the energy to have faith as it does to be so negative and keep knocking everything. And many, many Christians are just not, they're not with it. They're not believing. Listen, God wants faith and obedience. Now God said, go up and take the land. And the people said, we'll scout it out. We'll do a recon. But you know what they're doing? They're negotiating. They thought they'd negotiate with God here. And we'll do a recon. And the news is it's all bad. There's giants. Do you think God knew who was in that land before they brought back their silly report? Think about it. He knew there were some descendants of Anak there. What was the whole point here? I have a land of milk and honey, but I also want you to see how big a God I am. If you'll just go across the river there, I'll show you. Here is an assumption made, and friends, we do it all the time. We start thinking it's all on us when it's all on God. We're his vessels, his instruments. That's what we are. And they assumed that they had to do all of it. And God just said, if you just go forth in faith, I'll take the people out. Giants don't mean anything to me, the Lord God. Everybody, you hearing this? But they thought, they were acting as if, it all depends on us. We're just little grasshoppers. God already knew what was out there. And he just said, take it. I'm going to drive these people out for you. Moses says, rise up and go. They're going to scout it out. So Moses sent them in to scout it. They were questioning God. You know what they were really doing here? They wanted to check God out to make sure God knew what he was doing. Has anybody here ever checked God out? You don't have to raise a hand. You can just nod ahead. And we've all done that. Are you sure? Did I hear from you? Or is this just, anybody played that game? Am I just hearing my own thoughts, or is this you speaking? And he said, you want me to write it on the wall? Except when I write things on the wall, it kind of gets bad. I've said sometimes, I wish you'd just write it on the wall, and then he reminds me, go back in the Old Testament and see, writing on the wall didn't turn out well for people, you know, when it gets to that point. Let me give you another thing, another insight. This would be a bullet point up here. You got to remember something. There are leaders, and then there are leaders. Do you see a flaw right here? Did you catch it? They chose leaders from the tribes, but they didn't ask God which leaders. They just went and chose who they thought were the big guys in the tribe instead of saying, Lord, here's tribe number one, two, three, 12 tribes. Who have you chosen in this tribe here to go scout this land? You see what happens when people take it on themselves and pick who they want, it ends in disaster. Look, how many of you have been in churches where people got appointed, I've been in churches where there's boards or deacons or this, and people were selected more on their community standing. I'm not on a soapbox here, that's fact, you know, and or how much money they had or influence in a community, rather than who God had his hand on and said, I want this person. And if you notice when you read through this, not one of them, when they picked these people, said, God, who do you want? Who is your choice in the tribe? They just went and picked people based on their position, not who God said was a leader. There's lots of leaders in each tribe, and so they picked people who in a worldly sense, earthly sense, shown themselves to be leaders, but they ended up not being leaders. See, there's leaders and there's leaders. There's leaders, in other words, and there's godly leaders. There are those that are successful in the world, are good at business, or directing or bossing people. But you know what the problem is? And this is what their faith is in themselves, not the Lord. They picked people, see, who saw themselves as grasshoppers before they ever went over. They wouldn't have seen themselves as grasshoppers out there scouting this land out if they hadn't felt that way about themselves before they went. You follow me here? A lot of times people get in the leadership position, but they don't see themselves as leaders. They've got this front out there, this exterior to fool people. They act so confident, but inside they're trembling and fearful. And that's what happened here, 10 out of the 12. God said, pick some leaders. And the failure here was they didn't say which ones. And they just chose according to the eyes of people and not according to the will of God. This is amazing. There's tremendous insights in this. And all of God's leaders are required to have faith. And obviously, 10 of these didn't have any. Now let's look at the third point. And I don't have to say this one too heavy, hit it too hard, but we already know it. God's not always logical. Why doesn't God always make sense? Have you ever asked that? Why doesn't he make sense? This just doesn't make sense. And let me say something to you. I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but did you know faith is not really logical? Faith is not logical. You want me to, now look, from a logical perspective, you want us to go in here and fight giants and take on 45 cities. That's not logical. But faith is not logical. Faith is faith. Faith is believing that God will do what God says he'll do, no matter what I think, no matter what I think I see, or no matter what I think I hear. The spies, the explorers, found the land of milk and honey. Great produce, good soil. They found that they were greatly outnumbered and outgunned. Here's the problem. They were. The Israelites were outnumbered and they were outgunned. The cities were fortified. There's giants. We can't defeat them. This is all true. Listen to me. They said we can't defeat these people. And you know that's a fact? No, you can't. That's the whole point. God wants you to go forward and he'll defeat them because you are his chosen people and he is your God. You can't beat it, but God can. You see that? And with all that's been happening around us, I can't see things in the air, and all this, but I can't beat that, but God can. And I believe God is. And we have to make choices about that. You know, are we going to live this way? Are we going to see giants and fortified cities and things that we can't possibly take on? Are we going to see a God who is telling us in his word, go get it and just get it? And let God do God's thing. You don't have to have all the education and abilities. You don't have to have any of these things, when God's putting his hand on you, when he puts his hand on you and he speaks to your heart, he calls you forth in his word, you don't have to have all the things the world says you have to have. And you may be looking at something, maybe there's something in your heart right now God's telling you to do. Been telling you for a long time, been speaking to you. You're saying, God, I just don't have the money, I don't have the facilities, I don't have this, I don't have that. And the truth is, that's probably fact. You don't. You don't have the education, you don't have the training, you don't have the abilities. But if God's putting it on your heart to do what God is trying to get you to understand, you can't, but God can. Look how many people in Scripture God used. Look at Moses, the guy that's leading these people. What did he say at the burning bush? I can't. I can't. I find one humorous thing here. It's always been humorous to me. What did Moses, what was his prime excuse? I can't speak well. Didn't he say that? I stutter. But then when he got over there, and he finally got him cranked up and said, here, I'll send your brother with Aaron with you, and y'all go in there and do this thing. When they got over there, who did all the talking? Moses. God wasn't listening to that flimsy excuse. I can't. Isn't it amazing how we can just conjure up stuff? We can become so weak, so sick, so out of it. I can't talk. What are you sending me for? We can't put God on a human level, but if you could just see God there at that bush going, oh, get over it. Don't con me. You were raised, listen to this, you were raised in the courts of Egypt. You were raised in a princely position. Don't tell me, and you're an educated man, you're a smart dude. You can speak. So don't con me. And he got over there and he spoke. And look how Moses spoke to these people all the way through. What a flimsy thing. And God, aren't you glad God doesn't always listen to your flimsy excuses? Listen, you cannot attempt anything in this life without being told by someone that you cannot, should not, won't be able to make it. Have you ever tried anything where somebody wasn't out there telling you why he couldn't do it? Ever. If you want to accomplish something in this life and God's put it on your heart, there's always going to be opposition. There's going to be people out there telling you why you can't do it. The whole purpose, listen, you know what the whole purpose is of facing something bigger than you are? You know why you have to do that? And we all are faced with that. We have to do something that's bigger, overwhelming. You know why God allows that? It's to stretch our faith. And it's so that we can see that God is bigger than we are, and God is bigger than it. Do you see it? I don't know if you like this or not, but I'm really enjoying this message. I like this stuff. Because I see this happening, and I've been watching it all around us. I'm watching people freaked out, afraid to breathe. I heard a little iZone story yesterday, and I can't give you many facts. But I had a story related to me of two people in a store, and one got too close to the other. One was all masked and gloved, and the other one wasn't. And two ladies, and the lady that wasn't masked and gloved reached over to get something, and the one that was masked and gloved turned on her, and a fracas, verbal fracas, ensued. Am I pretty correct in that? And it wasn't godly works coming out of the mouth there. And the one with the mask just flew into the other one about the social distancing and the blah, blah, blah. Listen, most of us, everybody's been to HEB lately, Walmart. If anybody thinks you can keep a 6-foot distance in those places, I think you're better join these 10 spies here. You're in fantasy world. There's people bumping you, pushing you, you know, and I've been in one in Kerrville, and they're leaning up against the shelves, some of them, you know, and it's like, golly, you know, you're going to knock the whole shelf over trying to get away from them. You just can't. You just got to go in there and have some faith. You know, you've got to have faith. You're just going to bump into people. Well, anyway, this one lady didn't touch the other lady. She just reached up there, but it was, when I guess, 4 foot, in the, something like that. I'm looking over here because this person observed it. Well, anyway, the language that ensued was not Christian. And the one that didn't have gloves on, when she got rebuked, she turned and told that lady exactly what... Anyway, it was bad. You can make up any word you want that probably fit the occasion. And I'm just looking, and I've seen and heard a lot of that stuff, and people fighting over things. And I said, really? And the truth is, you've come out here today to do what God said in His Word. Did you know it says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together? And we laid off for a bit, because we were asked to. But there comes a time, friends, when you begin to look at around you and say, we've all been to the store, we've been other places, you go and you gas up, and we just can't keep that rule. We're doing everything else out here. We will not let the devil use anything else to keep us from worshiping together. That's where this message hit home, and God was just working on me about it, saying, you going to get in there and take that promised land, or are you just going to be told that there's too many giants out there that you can't overcome? Are you going to let a germ worry you? I think the chances are, and this is what God, this is for me. I'm not getting on any soapbox here and there. This is what my heart or me. It's like, Tony, don't you think it's out there in the air? Don't you think probably either everybody now has either got immunity or not, pretty much? And how many times have you been to Walmart or HEB or wherever and got close to people and you picked up things, touched things, you probably wore gloves on? Do you really think you'd escape this thing? Or why? And you just want you just going in there and just let me do my thing. Won't you just let me be God and get over it? Be cautious. I have no problem with that. Use sanitizer, wash your hand. But the truth is, you came out here today and you know what you did? You did exactly what Matthew says over in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything you need will be given to you. And I'm praying God's protection on everybody here and every church meeting today. And for all those who are not ready yet, God will take care of you when the time comes. And you're ready to believe. But don't let false reports and don't let the reports of 10 unbelieving people out there, whatever that means for you, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. So let me wrap this up. 10 of the 12 gave a bad report. Here's the destruction of a bad report. They gave a bad report because they had no faith. They were the head of tribes, but they weren't spiritual leaders. And here's an insight that we have to, you know, and we know it, but we need to hear it. Human nature will give more credence to a bad report than a good one. We did. It's human nature to listen to a bad report over a good one. Somebody could come up to you and say, you know, so-and-so, that's a good old boy there. That's a good old girl. I mean, they're good people. Yeah, yeah. Are they in competition? You know, so-and-so there, I saw them over, I don't know. Really? You think it was, what were they doing? I don't know. He was with her and they were out there talking pretty close. And we'll just get into that bad report, but the good report we just slough off. It's just human nature. And you know what it takes? It takes a heart of faith and commitment to Jesus Christ to say, I'm not listening to that stuff. I'm not going to believe that bad report. The bad report here was a lack of faith in God. And you know what it caused? It caused a bunch of people to never see the promised land. After all their struggles and all their suffering in Egypt and being out in that wilderness, God said, you're going to have to die out here now. I will not let any of this generation who didn't believe enter my land of milk and honey. Friends, there is a tremendously high price to unbelief. It can cost you so many blessings. The spies exaggerated their report. They wanted, you know what they wanted? They wanted God to do things their way. They wanted their kind of God. And I'll tell you something else about these people, and I won't emphasize it here except to say this is food for thought. You know what was really wrong with these folks? They couldn't get away from their past. You know what was really wrong in their hearts? They still had a slave of Egypt mentality. They could not see that they were people freed by the hand of the living God. And a lot of people in life are slaves to their past. Something back there that kept them in behind bars. And we just can't get away. And then this was a whole nation of people that could not leave that mentality. And it turned them against God, Moses, and Aaron. And it cost them the promised land. And he gave them 1 year in the wilderness for every day that these spies, explorers, were in the land. God said, Numbers 14, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, each day you'll bear your guilt 1 year. 40 years, you will know my rejection. That's sad. Let me share this with you. The 10 who brought the bad report came to a bad end. God sent, listen to this, God sent a plague and killed all 10 of them. And that makes me think, wow, I wonder if some things have happened in my life and others' lives. Because we get a bad report, we don't even realize it. I'm not saying walk around shaking, but before you listen to a bad report or give one, you might want to remember what happened to the spies. Wasn't a good deal for them, for 10 of them. So let me give you these insights and we'll close and go home. A bad report caused suffering and hardship for 40 more years. And everyone that listened to the bad report died in the wilderness. And so here's some closing insights. Be very discerning what you listen to. When you hear something in the news, you even hear something up here, ask God, is that from you? I am not infallible. I work hard at trying to be accurate, hearing what God says, but always don't take anybody's word for anything until you've looked in the Word of God. I want to go back like this today and read these passages. And check it, check it, check it. I take no offense. I want you to. God wants you to. And what you hear out here in this world, and what you, listen, I know I'm treading on thin ice here. I want so bad to get up and walk around. I just, anyway, so. I don't want to get yelled at, though. And what you see on this sacred thing called Facebook, yeah, please, I know, but just, I don't know. Anyway, okay, I won't go any further. I won't come out of here alive. But anyway, be discerning, very discerning what you listen to. Resist a bad report. Keep your head and your heart focused on Jesus Christ. You listen to what God says. It doesn't take courage to bring a bad report. Did you know it? It doesn't take any courage to bring a bad report. It doesn't take courage to listen to one. But it takes a lot of courage to have faith in Jesus Christ and honor God no matter what. That's what you're doing today. You keep it up. Do it everywhere. It's not what they say. Remember this. It's not what they say. It all boils down to what God says. And making deals with the Lord is not a good idea. I've had to learn that the hard way myself. And so God will honor you for being faithful, and God just wants you to believe what He says. And He wants you to do what He says. As long as He says. Because without Him, what did Jesus say? You can do nothing. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. John 15 says, all things are possible for you. You believe and you'll receive. And God's way is the only way. And I close with this last statement. Jesus said in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. And He doesn't stop there. He said, if you do this, what's the next statement Jesus spoke? and the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And that means healing, health, prosperity, filling of the Spirit. What you ask in my name when you're bearing fruit, I'll do. Why? Because he loves his friends and he's appointed us and he's here for us. So go out there and take that land of milk and honey, whatever that is for you. Let's pray. Father God, we just right here pray, determine in our hearts, we will not receive or act on a bad report. But we believe in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We put our faith in you to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, to bear fruit. And we know that you promise when we do that, that you'll give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name, because it means we're in fellowship and we're honoring you and we're taking the promised land. And Lord, whatever giants are out there for us, whatever walled cities and fortified towns, it doesn't matter, because God is God. And you're in the business, Lord, of knocking down walls and putting giants in the dirt, just like you did with David. You slay giants, you tear down walls, you give us victory, and we, Father, give our hearts to you and ask you to keep us faithful, loving, filled with your Spirit, walking in fellowship in your favor. In Jesus' holy name, God bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.